As we continue in worship this day, we have the opportunity to read upon the scriptures together. We're continuing in the series called The Art of Neighboring. As we do so, we have even right now, we have our youth. We're going out to a pool party to kind of celebrate Labor Day and to end that. And our children are going to sing over at Brookdale on Mesa right now. And so be in prayer for them as they go and represent our church and a gift of love for those who are at Brookdale on Mesa. As we continue in worship, let us pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to be both here in this place, worshiping together as a community of faith, and out into the world to be a witness of your love that goes beyond the building. Lord, we know that you encourage us and transform us and inspire us here, knowing that we're not alone, and then you send us out to be your hands and feet, your representatives in the world and in our neighborhoods. So Lord, I'm so grateful that we can join together and hear scripture, to hear a word from you, to celebrate worship through song. And so Lord, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Our scripture comes from Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. It's a short little passage. It says, "Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her.'" This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, last week we began this series called The Art of Neighboring. I hope you were able to get one of these sheets and to take it home with you. And I got a couple of my neighbors this week. Some of that is thanks to Amazon again, who delivered the wrong package at my door once again. And so I was able to make a delivery to one of my neighbors. And so I went to my neighbor's house and, you know, rang the Ring doorbell that, you know, you're already on video. And as I rang the Ring doorbell, a nice, not very nice dog came and greeted me through the window and barked. And then I heard on the Ring doorbell, you know, just leave the package at the door. So I left the package there and slowly walked away from the door. And as I was kind of a little bit distance away, the door opened. I was like, "Hey, you know, I'm right over here. Just wanted to bring your package and thank you," and kind of shut the door. So I didn't make a whole lot of progress there, but I'm going to keep working on it. And then I made the other delivery to the mysterious one. I went and knocked on a door and said, "Is this yours?" It came to my house. I was on the first try, got it right. And so was able to make that delivery and met one of the neighbors that I hadn't met next door. So I'm also trying to figure out, we live in a cul-de-sac, and so this is not really cul-de-sac quality, but I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to label my cul-de-sac do that. But we're making progress. I hope you're making progress as well and meeting those in your neighborhood that maybe you haven't met yet. So last week we talked about the story of the Good Samaritan. This week, this story from the Gospel of Luke that we're reading today happens right after the story of the Good Samaritan, in which Jesus instructs us how to best love our neighbor as ourself. And so Jesus is traveling along and he accepts the invitation to enter into the house of Mary and Martha. And as he enters into the house of Mary and Martha, Martha was distracted by all her many tasks that she thought she had to do. Martha worked and worked and worked over this big dinner and this until she worked herself into anxious detail distraction. Sometimes we do that ourselves. We're so worried about every little detail that we create so much anxiousness within ourselves that we can sometimes miss the point of the whole gathering, wondering if we got everything just perfect. Martha's sister Mary, on the other hand, stopped everything and sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he thought and taught. And after a while, Martha had enough of this laziness on behalf of Mary and insisted that Jesus tell Mary that she really needs to start helping. At first glance, you know, this sounds like a normal sibling relationship. My kids have already mastered it. And they're almost 10 and 7, and they are great at comparing themselves to one another, who has to do more around the house, and who gets the remote control more time, and who gets the tablet, and which tablet, and who gets, you know, the last dessert. Siblings compete constantly. I guess my brother and I did it as well. Who feels like they're getting gypped? You know, the biggest obstacle to taking the great commandment seriously in this passage, what we learn is time. The biggest obstacle to taking the great commandment seriously is time. We live in a world that values production and results and activity. The more you do, the more you get done, the more you produce, the better you are, the more value you have. You would think that we would have more time to do things for ourselves and caring for one another, but sometimes we've taken our devices and things that were meant to save us time, and instead we just filled our lives with more things to do, that we live at warp speed. The world has helped us do this. And we've taken technological developments, and instead of becoming less busy, we've become more busy, that we've filled even our time driving and everything else, sitting and waiting at a post office, everything, we filled it with more things to do instead of less things to do. We have more things to fill our time and our attention. The upper rooms are out now for this month and next month, and we have some copies in the back in the welcome area. We have both small print and large print, and so invite you, if an upper room is something you would like, to grab one as you are leaving today. But today's upper room, I didn't pick this, I just opened the book, is Wasting Time is the title of the devotion. And the person who wrote it from Texas says, "I'd say that I manage my time well, so it startled me recently to discover I wasted an entire week. I couldn't believe it, but on my cell phone app usage report, solitaire said 7 days, 10 hours, and 13 minutes. I had wasted an entire week playing solitaire." And then the writer goes on to say, "What could I have done instead of playing solitaire? What if I studied the Bible or memorized scripture during those 7 days, 10 hours, and 13 minutes? Suppose I'd call church members who are lonely, written encouraging notes, prayed for missionaries, or volunteered in places where I could have shared the good news. It's the small, unnoticed distractions, things that fill our time with, that can take up the most time, most of the time that the Lord grants us. Some distractions steal opportunities and others hinder obedience. When we carefully examine our walk, we can make sure each step follows Christ." This world has helped us become busier and busier over the last few years. And when we say, "I don't have time to get to know my neighbor," what we're really saying is, "I don't consider getting to know my neighbor as important as everything else." Author John Ortberg coined the phrase hurry sickness. And he says, "Love and hurry are fundamentally incompatible. Love always takes time, and time is the one thing that hurried people don't have." In the book, The Art of Neighboring, that I've been reading for this sermon series, they list a couple of myths that they actually call them lies that we have come to believe that can lead to hurried sickness. I can definitely relate to them. See if you can. The first one is things will settle down someday. I've been saying that for like 10, 12 years. Things will settle down, and then brother dies. Things will settle down, then we move to a new church. Things will settle down, oh, then we move to a new church. Things will settle down, oh, well, then we got moved to a new church. Things will settle down. Once school's out and we move into summer, things will settle down. When summer ends and the kids go back to school, things will settle down. We constantly think things will settle down, and, well, they haven't yet. Number two, more will be enough. Once we get, once we buy, once we have, we'll be okay. Myth number two. Number three is everyone lives like this. We like to say that in our mind, that everyone's living like this, so that it helps us feel better that we're not the only ones living like this. But friends, even if everyone lives like this, we don't have to live like this. We live in this tension between the urgent and the important. And when priorities are determined constantly by the urgent of having to respond, our lives won't match up with our intentions of what we plan to do. You see, in the scripture, both women act. Martha's action is to urgently prepare for the dinner for Jesus and the people gathering, while Mary's action is to stop and listen to the important words of the Master. Both give 100% of their attention and energy to these tasks. But one is focused on the urgent, and one is focused on the important. You see, when one has too many distractions and urgent things get accomplished, it consumes our attention away and our time away from the purpose. And so in the scripture, Jesus wasn't addressing the issue of busyness, but the issue of priority. We tend to let the urgent things crowd out the important things that end up taken away from the main thing. Let the urgent things crowd out the important things and end up missing the main thing. And it's not that Martha's actions are unnecessary, but in that moment, it was not the most important thing. You know, I would claim that Mary was as busy as Martha. Being attentive, listening to someone is not easy. It's actually exhausting to give someone 100% of your attention. The emotions that flow through us, the energy it takes to be attentive is very, very difficult. That's why this morning, as you are here and giving attention to Christ and to this worship service and to one another, you are just as busy as any other person in this world. You are just focused on the main thing right now. For we understand that the Christian life, that being grounded in prayer and worship is listening to Christ leads to more effective service and keeping the main thing focused on Jesus. So this morning's scripture is not a competition of who's right and who's wrong, but instead Jesus telling all of us to stay focused on the main thing. Different occasions call for different emphasis. We have to be able to discern which emphasis is most important at any moment. It's not an either or. It's a both and. And so a couple of questions that the book asks for us is do we live at a pace that allows us to be available to others around us? Do we live at a pace that allows us to be available to others around us? Jesus got a lot done. He was constantly moving. He was constantly being here and there to different villages and towns, but he was never hurried. He had time for interruptions. As he was going along the way and he saw someone who needed healing or assistance or needed a visit, he stopped and talked to them over and over and over again. I remember showing up to help a family with flood recovery down in the Rio Grande Valley. And we showed up at their house and, you know, we're ready to get in there and start working and start tearing into their house and getting it fixed up and dry so it can dry out. And I remember just walking in there, and instead of just getting straight to work, the family instead wanted to visit. And so for the first 45 minutes of showing up at that house, we sat there and we just talked to them about the experience that they had gone through. They didn't just need another person to show up and create more chaos for them. But it turned out that they needed someone to slow down, to spend time with them, and to hear them. I think that's what it means to be ready and prepared for interruptions and being attentive to the most important thing at any particular moment. You know, in the context of this event of Mary and Martha and Jesus, the episode was shocking for the time. Not for reproving Martha, but for praising Mary. As far as Jesus' own culture was concerned, Martha was in the right. She knew how to serve the itinerant rabbi, how to treat guests with honor. She believed that her place was back in the kitchen, working, preparing for others. The apostles probably expected Jesus to rebuke Mary and to praise Martha. But Jesus did the opposite. You see, Jesus came into this world to set people free. Free from the bondage of the past, free from the oppression of public opinion, free from graceless, joyless patterns of mundane behavior that just consume our time and that just keep us busy. Jesus came to free us, to give us life and life abundantly. You know, Martha was encouraged to leave all the distractions behind and to feast on the same fellowship that Mary enjoyed, being focused on Jesus. And our Lord commended Mary's daring to exercise the freedom that Jesus brings to put down the expectations of the culture and the world, to break the customs, even risking her sister's disapproval. She delighted in Jesus' words and presence. Friends, if one is waiting for the distractions to go away, for things to settle down in order to stop and finally listen to Jesus' words, one might be waiting for a while. There will always be something vying for our attention. But I think the thing that we have to do is make a choice about how we put our priorities and how we spend our time, overcoming the barriers, that we might love our neighbors as ourselves. What would it take to change the pace of our lives in order to be more available for those around us? What might we have to stop doing or maybe start doing? One of the things that the book talks about is to spend more time, instead of in our backyards, to spend more time in our front yards, being attentive to those who come and go. That maybe a conversation might take place. Maybe just your presence might make an impact. May we leave this place and be attentive to those opportunities to stop and listen, in order to share the better part of life with one another. May we make time. May we organize our time for those around us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and we thank you for this time together that we have set aside on this Sunday morning to be together in this place, to meet you through music and through scripture and through a sermon and through community and fellowship with one another. Lord, we know there are many things that we could be doing today. But Lord, we know that there is nothing of more importance than meeting with you in worship and in prayer. Lord, we love you and we thank you that we might leave this place, be attentive to the needs of those around us. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.